Case 8. The Rendlesham Forest Incident. Suffolk, England, December 26 to 28, 1980. Welcome to UFO Mysteries at Nightfall, your portal to the unexplained and the extraordinary. I'm your host, Henry Thornton. Today we delve into the mysterious realms of alien encounters as we uncover the enigmatic events surrounding the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident. Nestled in the heart of Suffolk, England, the quiet woodlands of Rendlesham became the stage for an otherworldly saga that unfolded between December 26 and 28, 1980. In this episode, we'll unravel the details of the sightings, explore the theories that shroud the incident, and contemplate its lasting impact on UFO lore and the witnesses who found themselves at the center of this unexplained phenomenon. Now, let us venture into the unknown and revisit the Rendlesham Forest UFO encounter. So, as always, step into the unknown with UFO Mysteries at Nightfall, where mysteries unfold in the vast expanse above. Together, let's uncover the alien enigma. Rendlesham Forest encompasses around 5.8 square miles of spellbinding terrain, which is owned by the Forestry Commission. Located just 8 miles east of Ipswich, this natural haven offers a diverse landscape featuring coniferous plantations, the interspersed broad-leaved belts, heathland, and tranquil wetland areas. Its scenic beauty makes it a haven for nature enthusiasts and those seeking solace in the embrace of the natural world. Positioned in proximity to two former military bases, RAF Bentwaters and RAF Woodbridge, both under the command of the United States Air Force during the Cold War. RAF Bentwaters, situated just north of the forest, and RAF Woodbridge, extending into the western fringes of the woodland, under the command of Wing Commander Colonel Gordon E. Williams at the time, these military installations played crucial roles in NATO defense strategies during the tense Cold War era. Rendlesham Forest itself, with its ancient trees and hidden clearings, becomes a character in this episode's unfolding narrative. The coniferous plantations create a rich tapestry of greenery, providing a serene backdrop. Broad-leaved belts add variety to the landscape, creating pockets of biodiversity, while heathland areas contribute an element of wildness. Wetland areas enhance the ecological richness of the forest, fostering a delicate balance of flora and fauna. As the sun sets over Rendlesham Forest, casting long shadows among the trees, the tranquility of this natural haven belies the events that occurred on those fateful December nights in 1980. The forest, with its ancient trees and whispering leaves, stands as a silent witness to the unfolding mysteries that captured the imaginations of witnesses and investigators alike. The Rendlesham Forest incident remains a topic of fascination and debate, with the natural beauty of the forest contrasting with the historical events that unfolded within its embrace. Whether drawn to the enchanting allure of the woodland's natural wonders or captivated by the echoes of the past, Rendlesham Forest invites exploration and contemplation beneath its ancient canopy, where the earthly and the unknown coexist in harmonious mystery. It was the tail end of 1980. The weather was cold and wintry, and the U.S. Air Force pilots based at RAF Bentwaters, under the instruction of their commanding officers, carried out the duties which had been bestowed upon them. It would be fair to say, however, that the mood amongst the men was somewhat uneasy. It was 3 a.m. on December 26th when the still silence of Boxing Day morning was shattered, as the Bentwaters base's emergency alarms roared in the darkness. The piercing sounds of sirens reverberated throughout the base. The bare plaster on the walls of the base's barracks only served to intensify this extremely loud noise. Armed sentries, who had been on guard duty, were rapidly deployed to strategic positions around the border of the base. One of these sentries was Steve Lungereau, an airman who had been patrolling the weapons bunker at the base, and he was shocked as the alarms went off. Lungereau raced to join his colleagues when suddenly he noticed movement deep inside the forest which surrounded the base. On any given night, Rendlesham Forest would be darker than dark. You would not have been able to see your own hand in front of your face because it was so dark. But on this particular night, a strange red glow emanated from the woodlands. Lungereau's eyes were drawn to numerous other different colored objects moving around at very high speeds. The frantic movement of these objects resulted in a dreamlike display of lights flashing in the forest. The Air Force men were equally enthralled and perturbed by the display of pulsating bright lights coming from the depths of the forest. They watched in amazement as the lights crashed into each other and separated. They also noticed loud, bizarre, otherworldly noises were coming from the same direction as the lights. The airmen also noticed on several occasions that the objects would float above the tree line. The soldiers wondered if these objects might be carrying out surveillance on the base. The officers who were observing events from the control tower could see the lights that these strange objects were emitting. However, they did not observe them transmitting anything resembling any kind of radio signal or radar signatures. An order was issued from the chiefs on the base to all personnel. It instructed them they were not to leave, and under no circumstances to venture past the base's perimeter and into the woodlands. Just along the road from Bentwaters, the RAF Woodbridge base was enveloped in the total blackness of the night, and perfect silence as the men on base either carried out their sentry duty or retired to sleep for the night. That was until some of the guards out on patrol around the east gate reported that they had witnessed what appeared to be a light aircraft making a descent into the woods close to the base's airfield. And it was at this point that Lieutenant Colonel Charles Hault, who was the duty officer on the base that night, ordered a patrol of the base to find out exactly what was happening. The patrol made their way into the forest, and as they did so, there was a noticeable change in the atmosphere. Despite the sub-zero temperatures, they started to feel very warm, and they heard an ominous low humming noise coming from within the forest. Not only that, but they could also hear wailing and screaming, which only served to heighten their senses. As they made their way towards the source of the light and sounds, it became apparent where they were coming from, Capitol Green Farm. The floating orbs of light appeared to be causing distress to the sheep and cows in the fields. At this point, the soldiers split into two teams. One team was tasked with heading deeper into the woods, while the other would head towards RAF Bentwaters. Shortly after the team split up, one group of pilots came across something quite unbelievable, an extraordinary-looking metallic spacecraft, which was hovering in a small clearing. One of the men, Peniston, had a unique ability. He could recognize and identify virtually any kind of aircraft on Earth. However, when he was faced with this alien craft, which was triangle-shaped, the surface was peppered with large red lights and smaller blue ones, he had absolutely no idea what he was looking at. As Peniston observed the mysterious craft, it sprayed a light mist on the ground. He then started to approach the craft and noticed that the exterior of it was buttery smooth, warm, and appeared not to have any obvious features that would be easy or obvious to identify. It had no obvious propulsion system or anything that resembled a steering mechanism. The entire craft appeared to have been milled and created from a single piece of metal. The fact that there were no bolts or rivets anywhere to be seen only confirmed Peniston's suspicions. As he examined the exterior of the craft, Peniston brushed his hand over one of the symbols which were engraved into its surface. Suddenly, a bizarre feeling coupled with a low electrical current shot through his body. The symbols on the craft's surface lit up so brightly that they caused temporary blindness as well as the perceived vision of streams of ones and zeros. It took up to 10 minutes for this terrifying, unreal experience to come to an end. And when it did, the craft darted off instantaneously, zipping through the forest at an unbelievable speed. After taking a few moments to recover from what he had just experienced, Peniston and his partner Burroughs rejoined Cabansag, who confirmed that he had also seen the red light speeding through the forest, but not in as much detail as Peniston had. Upon their return to the base, the three men reported their experience to Lieutenant Colonel Hault. Hault wrote a full report of the incident, and then forwarded it on to his own superiors, as well as the local authorities. Several more men were sent out to the site during the day to investigate, and they discovered unusual indentations and scorch marks on the ground. Over the next 2 days, Hault would find himself growing more and more frustrated due to the fact that he had not received any official response from the report that he sent. This lack of acknowledgement only served to leave what occurred that night to linger and fester a state of unease and uncertainty amongst the men at the base. Hault continued to receive regular reports from his sentries whenever they witnessed any other lights in the forest, and this made him decide that he had to see what was going on for himself, and so he arranged to take a group of airmen into the forest with him to carry out a thorough investigation. Around 2 a.m. on December 28th, Hault and his band of men ventured forth on their investigation. They only took flashlights and a Geiger counter with them, and they headed towards the clearing where Peniston and Burroughs had their interaction with the craft. Halt wanted to document his investigation, so he took a portable tape recorder with him and used it to record his findings as the group disappeared deeper into the woods. Once the group arrived at the clearing, Halt discovered numerous circular indentations scorched into the ground, which formed a large triangle. Additionally, similar marks were found on the sides of tree trunks surrounding the clearing, along with freshly broken branches and foliage. When they examined the scorch marks, the men found that the readings taken by the Geiger counter were more than double the acceptable background levels. Halt continued recording his findings and observations when one of his men shouted an issue in the darkness. One of the unidentified red aircraft flew from the east and headed straight for them, descending rapidly from the sky. Later, when his recording of the incident was being listened back to, it was discovered that Halt had described the object as being like an eye, which was winking down at him and his men. As the craft moved away, Halt and his troops followed it for a few moments before they witnessed it exploding and breaking off into three smaller crafts, which were all star-shaped. The small stars zipped around at breakneck speeds, setting off explosions and emitting strobe lights. Halt and his men looked at each other for the briefest of moments, before they all ran for the safety of the airbase. The three sets of star-shaped lights now took position in the sky above RAF Woodbridge. They shot back and forth across the airfield at unbelievable speeds. Sometimes as they darted across, they shot beams of crimson-red light onto the armaments lockers, which were dotted around the base. Several hours later, the lights suddenly stopped and disappeared, out towards the sea on the horizon, passing over RAF Bentwaters as they left. The men of the U.S. Air Force could not believe what they had witnessed, and were left feeling utterly confused as they went over the previous night's events in their heads. The Halt Memorandum, a key piece of primary evidence, was composed by Lieutenant Colonel Charles Halt, the Deputy Base Commander, and addressed to the U.K. Ministry of Defense. This document, commonly referred to as the Halt Memo, was the first to be made available to the public. In 1983, it was released in the United States under the U.S. Freedom of Information Act, dated 13 Jan 1981, and titled Unexplained Lights. The memo was not classified and detailed the events of the Rendlesham Forest incident, despite a 2-week gap between the incident and the report, which may have contributed to errors in dates and times. The memorandum played a crucial role in revealing the nature of the encounters. Investigator David Clark's examination of the memo and discussions with MOD personnel indicated a cursory investigation by the MOD and a lack of evidence for other reports on the incident from either the U.S. or U.K. Air Forces, other than the Halt memo. Lieutenant Colonel Halt, in subsequent statements, expressed his belief that he had witnessed an extraterrestrial event that was subsequently covered up. The Halt tape, recorded during Lieutenant Colonel Halt's investigation, is a 17-minute and 57-second audio recording made available to UFO researchers in 1984 by Colonel Sam Morgan, who succeeded Ted Conrad as Halt's superior. This tape, known as the Halt tape, documents Halt's real-time exploration of the forest, including activities such as taking radiation readings and observing a flashing light between trees. It also captures the sighting of star-like objects that hovered and twinkled. Released by Colonel Morgan, the tape provides an audio account of Halt's experiences during the investigation. Researcher Ian Ridpath transcribed the tape and conducted a step-by-step analysis of its contents, offering additional insights into the events that transpired during Halt's inquiry into the Rendlesham Forest incident. In 1997, a researcher named James Esten accessed the original statements provided by individuals who witnessed the events on the night of December 26th. Ed Cabansag, one of the witnesses, noted in his statement that initially they believed the lights were originating from beyond the forest, as nothing was visible when passing through the wooded area. As they approached, they discovered the source to be a lit-up farmhouse near a beacon light in the distance. Burroughs also mentioned hearing a noise akin to a woman screaming and noted the farm animals making significant sounds. Lieutenant Colonel Charles Halt, who encountered similar noises 2 nights later, suggested that these sounds might have been produced by muntjac deer in the forest, as these animals are recognized for their loud, shrill barks when alarmed. In June 2010, Colonel Charles Halt, who had retired by then, signed an officially documented statement summarizing his account of the events. In this notarized affidavit, he expressed his belief that the incident was of extraterrestrial origin and had been concealed by both the UK and the US. Some discrepancies between this affidavit and the recorded facts at the time in Halt's memo and tape recording have been highlighted. During the same year, Colonel Ted Conrad, the base commander, issued a statement regarding the incident to Clark. Conrad asserted that they observed nothing resembling Lieutenant Colonel Halt's descriptions in the sky or on the ground. Despite having individuals in positions to corroborate Halt's narrative, none of them could validate it. In an interview, Conrad criticized Halt for the claims made in his affidavit, stating that he should feel ashamed for alleging a conspiracy between his country and Britain to deceive their citizens. An article from 1983 in Omni reported Colonel Ted Conrad's account of the incident. Conrad, the base commander, recounted that five Air Force policemen observed lights they initially thought were from a small descending plane. Two of the men pursued the object on foot and encountered a large tripod-mounted craft in the forest. The craft, lacking windows but adorned with brilliant red and blue lights, levitated 6 feet in the air and retreated whenever the men approached within 50 yards. They followed it for nearly an hour through the woods and across a field until it departed at a remarkable speed. Acting on his men's reports, Colonel Conrad initiated a brief investigation in the morning, locating a triangular pattern allegedly made by the tripod legs. He interviewed two eyewitnesses and concluded, "Those lads saw something, but I don't know what it was." Regarding the Ministry of Defense MOD file, claims of a cover-up emerged due to its substantial nature, with some suggesting it was part of a broader pattern of information suppression about unidentified flying objects by the United States and British governments. However, when the file was released in 2001, it mainly consisted of internal correspondence and responses to public inquiries. The publicly released documents lacked an in-depth investigation, aligning with the MOD's earlier statement that they never treated the case seriously. The released files include an explanation by Defense Minister Lord Trefgarn regarding why the MOD did not pursue further investigation. The Rendlesham Forest incident has ignited the imaginations of many, giving rise to a myriad of theories attempting to decipher the mysterious events. From the extraterrestrial hypothesis, suggesting encounters with beings from beyond our world, to more down-to-earth explanations such as misidentified aircraft, experimental military technology, or even natural phenomena. Each theory adds a layer to the enigma. How does the government fit into this cosmic puzzle? Initially dismissed as mere misinterpretations, the official stance on the Rendlesham Forest incident evolved over time. No UFO incident is immune to skepticism, and Rendlesham Forest is no exception. Are there plausible explanations that debunk the UFO narrative? Or does skepticism merely deepen the mystery, leading us to question the very nature of reality? As we traverse the diverse terrain of theories, government responses, and skepticism surrounding the Rendlesham Forest incident, keep an open mind as we look at the arguments for and against this UFO incident being genuine aliens from another planet. Some of the arguments from those believing in the Rendlesham Forest UFO encounter would be firstly eyewitness testimonies. Supporters of the UFO encounter point to the testimonies of military personnel, including high-ranking officers like Lieutenant Colonel Charles Halt. These witnesses describe seeing strange lights and unidentified objects, providing detailed accounts of the events. Military credibility is another argument for. The fact that the sightings occurred near military bases lends credibility to the accounts. Military personnel are often trained observers, and their reports are taken seriously in other contexts, adding weight to their claims about the UFO incident. Then we come to the Halt memo and tape. The release of the Halt memo and tape, documenting the events as they unfolded, is considered significant evidence. The real-time recording by a senior military official provides an audio account that aligns with the reported sightings. The physical evidence. Some argue that physical evidence, such as alleged indentations in the ground and unusual markings, supports the idea of a genuine UFO encounter. Proponents contend that these anomalies cannot be easily dismissed. And lastly, we have the radiation readings. The recording of elevated radiation readings during the incident is cited as evidence supporting the unusual nature of the events. Believers argue that such readings are consistent with UFO encounters reported elsewhere. Now let us look at the arguments from skeptics questioning the UFO nature. Firstly, we have the lack of definitive proof. Skeptics often highlight the absence of concrete evidence, such as clear photographs or unambiguous video footage, as a significant point of contention. They argue that eyewitness accounts alone may not be sufficient to establish the event as a UFO encounter. Then we have natural explanations. Some skeptics propose natural explanations for the observed phenomena, such as misidentified conventional aircraft, weather phenomena, or celestial objects. They suggest that these can account for the reported lights and unusual sightings. One particular argument in this vein is that the pilot saw the beacon from the local lighthouse, and it is believed that is what the source of their UFO was. These men, who are some of the best pilots on the face of the planet, who are used to seeing flashes of light in the sky and being able to identify what they are engaging with in a matter of seconds. These men, who are highly trained and skilled, are apparently unable to tell the difference between the light from a lighthouse beacon and the lights that were described as coming from this craft. With there being up to three of them at any one time and moving at insane speeds, darting all across the sky. That all seems rather unlikely to me. Military experiments. Skeptics speculate that the events could be linked to classified military experiments or exercises. They argue that military personnel might have witnessed unconventional military activities mistaken for extraterrestrial phenomena. Psychological factors. Skeptics often bring up the role of psychological factors, suggesting that stress, fatigue, or other mental and emotional elements could have influenced the perceptions of those involved. This perspective questions the reliability of eyewitness accounts. The Rendlesham Forest incident has cast a long shadow over the field of UFO research. Its significance lies not only in the peculiar events themselves, but in the ripple effect it has had on how we approach and investigate unidentified aerial phenomena. Researchers and enthusiasts alike have scrutinized the case, adding it to the canon of unexplained phenomena that challenge our understanding of the cosmos. The incident has prompted a deeper examination of the intersection between military operations, government responses, and the unexplained. Since the initial events in 1980, the Rendlesham Forest incident has not faded into obscurity. Various researchers and investigators have revisited the case, unearthing new perspectives and evidence. Additionally, declassified documents and witness statements have periodically surfaced, adding layers to the narrative. As we reflect on the impact and legacy of the Rendlesham Forest incident, we find ourselves standing at the crossroads of history and mystery. The questions it raises continue to captivate our collective curiosity, leaving us to ponder the broader implications for our understanding of the unknown. Our journey into the mysterious depths of the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident has been nothing short of captivating. Let's take a moment to reflect on the key points that have unfolded in this otherworldly saga. From the chilling nights of December 1980 to the halt tape, capturing the raw reactions in the heart of the unknown, we've traversed the landscapes of Rendlesham Forest, where the ordinary collided with the extraordinary. Witness testimonies, government responses, and the enduring impact on UFO research and popular culture have woven intrigue and uncertainty. The enigma persists, leaving us with more questions than answers. With so many UFO sightings, what is the correct theory? Are the aliens nice and they are watching over us, protecting us? Are they from different dimensions that we can't see, or are they evil, waiting for the correct moment to destroy us? One terrifying theory is that they are using humans to create souls. This concept is often found in imaginative narratives that explore the intersection of extraterrestrial encounters and the mysteries of human existence. In the scenario described, the notion is that these hypothetical aliens see humans not just as physical beings, but as creators of something ethereal and essential, souls. This concept draws on the mystical and philosophical aspects of human existence, intertwining them with the idea of extraterrestrial beings seeking to exploit or harness our essence for their own purposes. Basically, it is implying that we dumb humans are just living these pointless lives thinking we are important and matter, but really aliens are just using us as slaves to create souls that they gain some kind of power from. Most often, aliens are seen as nice and good or protectors, but what if the aliens are evil and they were to attack us? What would it be like? How could we possibly defend ourselves? I imagine it would be something like this. Picture this. A scenario where extraterrestrial beings, not of benevolent intentions, descend upon Earth with a malevolent purpose. The skies darken as colossal, ominous spacecraft pierce through the clouds, casting an otherworldly shadow upon the planet. Their arrival signals a looming threat, one that transcends borders and unites humanity in the face of peril. Governments, once divided by politics and ideologies, are forced to set aside their differences as a common enemy emerges. Imagine the United Nations assembling a coalition of nations, a global alliance unlike any seen before. Countries from every corner of the earth, with their diverse cultures and histories, standing shoulder to shoulder against an extraterrestrial menace. The world's military forces merge into a colossal united front, a last bastion of defense for our home planet. As the alien forces reveal their sinister agenda, a sense of urgency sweeps across the nations. These intergalactic invaders seek to exploit Earth's resources and, shockingly, our very souls. They view us as mere factory workers, creators of an ethereal essence that they aim to steal. The stakes couldn't be higher, as the survival of humanity hangs in the balance. Picture the world coming together in a symphony of determination, each country contributing its unique strengths and expertise. In this desperate struggle for survival, boundaries blur, and a planetary camaraderie emerges. The once divided human race finds unity in the face of an unimaginable threat. The scene is apocalyptic, as if plucked from the darkest corners of a sci-fi nightmare. The once serene and blue planet is now a canvas of chaos and destruction. Visualize colossal alien spacecraft hovering ominously in the skies, their otherworldly designs casting eerie shadows over the desolation below. Explosions of cataclysmic proportions ripple across the continents, sending shockwaves through the very fabric of the Earth. Cities crumble into rubble, their towering skyscrapers reduced to twisted metal and ashes. The atmosphere is choked with billowing plumes of smoke and dust, obscuring the remnants of what was once bustling civilization. The alien weaponry, far beyond the scope of human comprehension, unleashes beams of destructive energy that cut through the landscape like fiery blades. Picture these beams tearing through mountains, carving canyons where cities once stood, leaving nothing but devastation in their wake. As the alien onslaught continues, the planet's surface is scarred with massive craters, evidence of the extraterrestrial onslaught. The oceans churn with turbulent waves, reflecting the turmoil above and below. Forests are reduced to charred remnants, and the natural world is left in ruin. In the midst of this chaos, desperate attempts at resistance unfold. Human military forces engage in a futile struggle against the overwhelming might of the alien invaders. Fighter jets streak across the darkened skies, launching missiles that seem insignificant against the colossal enemy ships. The air is filled with the haunting sounds of destruction, the roars of alien engines, the booming explosions, and the anguished cries of a planet in agony. The once vibrant and diverse Earth is transformed into a nightmarish tableau of devastation and despair, as the alien onslaught relentlessly continues, leaving behind a world on the brink of annihilation. The air resonates with the sounds of fighter jets and marching troops, a testament to humanity's resilience and will to endure. It's a battle not just for our physical existence, but for the very essence of what makes us human, our souls. As we conclude this imaginative journey, remember that the realm of alien encounters remains a mystery, one filled with both wonder and trepidation. Beyond the realm of academia, the Rendlesham Forest incident has seeped into popular culture, becoming a touchstone for UFO enthusiasts and a source of inspiration for countless books, documentaries, and films. Its mysterious allure has captured the imagination of storytellers and artists, embedding itself in the collective consciousness as a symbol of the unexplained. In 2005, lottery funds were utilized by the Forestry Commission to establish a trail in Rendlesham Forest, responding to heightened public interest, and affectionately named it the UFO Trail. 6 years later, an artist was commissioned by the Forestry Service to craft a piece of artwork that now stands at the conclusion of the trail. The artist asserts that the creation is inspired by sketches believed to depict various versions of the UFOs reportedly witnessed at Rendlesham. As we bid farewell to Rendlesham Forest, brace yourselves for the next episodes in our podcast. We'll be delving into more unexplored territories, uncovering tales of the unknown that will leave you in disbelief. Thank you for joining us on this captivating journey through the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident. Remember to follow, rate, and share UFO Mysteries at Nightfall and stay updated on our upcoming episodes. Until next time, keep looking up to the skies and never stop searching for the truth.